This little section in my Bible says, Jesus gives true rest. Verse 28, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're able, I would ask that you kneel for prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask that you will fill our minds and our hearts with your presence. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will transform us and make us more like you. We thank you for being with us this past week, and now we're here to worship on the Sabbath. Help us to have a closer walk with you today, and that we will be the light on the hill to this community. Give us a holy boldness that we can speak to our friends and neighbors to share about the soon coming of Jesus. We ask that you would be with those members whose names are listed in our bulletin. They've asked for prayers of healing, and you know the needs of each one. And so we ask that they will be blessed today. We thank you so much that Tanya is home from the hospital. We ask that you would give her a complete healing so that she'll be able to come and worship with us again. And be with Robin. Give him the strength that he needs to continue to help her. Be with Pastor Don and Ruth as they're spending a restful time at the coast. Give them a safe return, and we ask that you would continue to be with them as they are leading our congregation. We ask that you would be with us here and those that are watching online, and open our hearts and minds to hear the message that Celicia brings. Open our hearts as we hear the message about this Laodicean attitude. Help us to be on fire for you, that we will be able to let others know about your coming and where you want us to be. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. So today our topic is, and our question is, Laodicea. Are we sleeping or are we sleep deprived? If we look at Revelation, we know that God tells us there is a special blessing if we study it, if we try and understand it. And something that touches me is that God says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So he is with us from before, now, and the future. And in Revelation 1:19, it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So to me, before he goes into talking about the letters to the seven churches, he's already telling us these churches, what he's speaking about is not only historical that has happened, but it's something for our present lives that each of us as individuals will go through in our Christian walk with God, and that it will also predict what is happening in the future, okay? So So we're going to look at that through this perspective. So those are the seven churches. And like I said, I think with each one, we are going to see ourselves going through each one. One thing that we can look at when we look at our time period, which it's said that we are in the Laodicean time period, we can relate it to the story of the virgins. So as Christians, we all those churches will fall asleep, right? We know the story. But there's when they wake up, then only five of them have enough oil. So it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them, and sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's in Matthew 25, 1 through 10. Why did they all sleep? They all slept because the bridegroom tarried. It took a while. And then they were told they needed to go buy. If we look at Laodicea, which we'll read that later, they were also told to go buy. They thought they were rich, but they were told they needed to really buy the gold and the clothes. Well, in this, they needed to buy the oil. What is the oil? The oil is the Holy Spirit. Here's Laodicea. So in the vision of Ellen G. White, it says the Advent people who were traveling to the city, they had a bright light set up behind them at the beginning of their path, which an angel told me was the midnight cry. This light shone all along the path and gave light to their feet so they would not stumble. If they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them leading them to the city, they were safe. But soon some grew weary and said the city was a great way off and they expected to have entered it long before. So we have the virgin sleeping. We have this feeling like it's taking so long. Laodicea is the seventh church. So if we're thinking of this as we are going through these stages of these seven churches, and we're at the last stage just before God comes, we read in Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So I think of this cold and hot a lot like hydrotherapy. So hydrotherapy is a healing modality that you use hot and cold to heal the body. God gave us this for specific ways to heal us. The heat brings blood flow to the area. The cold pushes blood flow back into circulation. So if you have both, you're having this pumping action. The blood is moving. The blood of Christ is moving through us. What's happening in this church? It's lukewarm. It's not going anywhere. What else about the city of Laodicea? This was a very rich city. But they lived in a place that didn't have water, so they had to make these ways to get water. So from the city of the north came warm water, and the city of the east came the cold water, but by the time it reached that city, it was lukewarm. So it says in Revelation 3:14, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So We have money, maybe financially, but we are poor and we need to go buy from God what it is that we need to be spiritually rich. This is a comic, and I don't know if you guys can see it, it's very small here. But we seem to be working very hard to keep our lifestyles, our necessities met. And sometimes it feels like that's pretty much all we can do is keep searching for those necessities. So this is a picture of the Jones. It says, so that's why it's so hard to keep up with the Joneses. And here's this mansion that's in foreclosure. So they look like they were rich, but in reality, they were overworked, trying to keep up with just their appearance, I guess, and their necessities. So are we feeling like we're overworked? Are we feeling like we're overextended? Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. So I looked up surfeiting. It means overconsumption, lack of temperance, and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. So we can get so wrapped up in our daily needs, fighting for our daily needs, that we are exhausted and we miss what's actually important. But we have in Matthew 6:25-26, it says, "Do not worry. Look at the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" What a blessing to allow God to prove to us that he has everything under control and that we don't have to. But what faith it takes to let go of that steering wheel. We're told by Ellen G. White that it's going to be important to live in an area that is not conglomerated with a lot of people, to allow us that freedom to praise God and to worship as we need to. It says, again and again, the Lord, this is from Ellen G. White, again and again, the Lord has instructed that our people are to take their families away from the cities into the country where they can raise their own provisions. For in the future, the problem of buying and selling will be a very serious one. We should now begin to heed the instruction given us over and over again. Get out of the cities into the rural districts where the houses are not crowded closely together and where you will be free from the interference of enemies. So if you are in the cities, it's going to be hard to focus on what's important, right? And we want to be able to rest in the Lord. Rest was created by God from the beginning of creation. And it says he rests on seventh day from all his work. We want to take creation and look at its principles that it gives us for all our needs. I find it interesting that in Genesis, when it begins, it says evening and morning were the first day, second day, third day. So a good day since creation started was with a good night's rest. It always starts with evening and then morning. So you start that good day with the evening, a good rest. So sleep is vital to our health, and we're going to talk about how we want to focus on not only the physical rest, but also a mental rest and a spiritual rest. You see at the top the picture, she is well rested, ready to go for the day to meet whatever challenges, learn whatever lessons we were meant to learn that day. But the second one, this lady is exhausted. She is not sleeping well at night, and she is not able to be awake during the day. She is asleep. We want to support the mental rest, and we can do that in a few different ways that I've listed here. One is to avoid multitasking or overcommitting. We have a tendency to do that, and we're spread very thin. It's good to take short naps, 10 to 20 minute naps. No longer than that, because it'll affect your night's sleep. It's good to take frequent mental breaks. using our mind can be very taxing. They've even seen that it uses sometimes more glucose just using our mental facilities than sometimes running or walking or doing exercise. So mental breaks are important. Prayer, very important. Visiting with someone else. It's good to get out of our own minds, to look at how others are feeling, walk in their shoes, take our focus off of ourselves. Massage, very good to stimulate the blood flow in our body. Laughter is medicine to a heart. And then slow, deep breathing, getting that oxygen in. These days with the mask, it's very hard to get oxygen, so we want to take time to be out in nature to get that good oxygen. We're going to talk about sleep. There are different stages in sleep. Five. So you've got the stage 1 through 4 and then REM sleep. And we'll talk about each one, but you can see there the EEG is the brain waves, the level of consciousness, and then how you are at the beginning of the sleep, having a light sleep, then intermediate, then a slow, deep wave sleep, and then the REM. So in stage 1, it's light. You can easily be woken up, and the eye movements are slow. Stage 2, the eye movements finally stop. You have a bit slower brain waves with occasional bursts of rapid brain waves. The third stage, you have a deep sleep. It's difficult to wake you up at that sleep. The brain waves are even slower than the last stage, but occasionally a rapid wave. Stage 4, deep sleep, very difficult to wake, extremely slow brain waves. It is so important to get into those deep stages, and we find that sometimes, and more often than not, we're seeing a lot of sleep apnea and issues with not getting into those really deep stages. Finally, you get the REM sleep. That doesn't happen until after 90 minutes of going through those different stages, right? So after 90 minutes, it cycles with the other stages every 90 minutes. And we want several of those through the night, not just one. One is better than none, though. This is where the eyes move very rapidly. The breathing is rapid, shallow, irregular. You'll have dreams during this time. And the muscles are temporarily paralyzed. There's what I just went through. Then I'm going to talk about the hormones that are produced during sleep. So serotonin, it's the hormone that is during the wake hours that gives us that sensation that we are happy with our life, not depressed. And then in the evening, our pineal gland senses the decrease in light and it starts converting that serotonin to melatonin. And melatonin is very important. It synchronizes our physiological rhythms, okay? It stimulates the immune system, so it guards us from cancer. It also guards the nervous system. It goes into all of our cells. It decreases the cognitive deterioration, such as in Alzheimer's. And it can help manage elevated blood pressure, so bringing down that blood pressure. Sometimes we can have a deficiency in that hormone, and then we are compromised in all those areas we just spoke about. Another couple hormones is called ghrelin and leptin. Ghrelin triggers hunger. If we don't sleep when we're supposed to, and that ghrelin is produced while we're awake, the next day we're going to be hungrier. So we want to eat more. Leptin, it triggers the sensation of fullness and satiety. If we are asleep when it's produced at that certain time of the night, great, it is balanced. If we're not, then we are not going to feel full and you're going to eat more. So you're more hungry with the ghrelin and you're not full. So you want to eat more and more with the leptin. The next hormone is growth hormone. Growth hormone, with deep sleep, it triggers that nice production of growth hormone, and it's the highest an hour after falling asleep. So the body uses that growth hormone to repair cells, build muscles, stimulate growth, repair. So these are just a few of the hormones that are important during sleep. And how can we support those hormones? Well, we support it through the day so that we can get a good night's rest. During the day, we want sunlight. It actually, when it hits that pineal gland, turns off the melatonin, so we're not getting a deficiency of slow release of that melatonin during the day. So getting sunlight. You want fresh air during the day and during the night, so opening the window at night for fresh oxygen. And you want regular physical activity to decrease the excess levels of cortisol, our stress hormone, cortisol, and other stress hormones. We also want to make sure we limit the naps during the day, not to be too long. And the best time to do that, the naps, is between 2 and 4, about 5 hours before you're actually going to go to sleep. Okay. You want to eat a light supper so that your digestion is finished by the time you go to bed. Because if you're not, you still have food in your stomach, you're not going to go into those deep sleep patterns. And then you want to maintain a sleep-wake rhythm. So you want to get up at regular times, go to sleep at regular times. Our body loves rhythms, and it will predict for us, and we are going to secrete those hormones in a better way if we can respect those rhythms. And we want to resolve conflict, because if we are not, our mind is not going to shut off. It's going to keep thinking, oh, that thing that happened today with that person. So, also, when it comes to bedtime, you want to relax. You don't want to have high stress during that time. You want to avoid stimulants such as caffeine, sugar, chocolate, alcohol. You want to take a warm bath an hour or two before bed. Maintain a dark, quiet, cool room. The temperature will drop, and our body actually does better in a cooler room for sleep. Circulate the fresh air, opening the window, and then having a good, comfortable bed and pillow, supporting those curves in our body so that we don't have worse pain when we get up in the morning. They did a study, a health survey from university students, 17,500 students from 24 different countries, and they found that 7 or more hours of sleep led to better health. Deep sleep is considered the restorative part of sleep necessary for feeling well and rested and energetic during the day. They did a study from the psychiatric and at the departments of psychiatry at the University of California in San Diego, where they deprived people of sleep. So there were certain people that they deprived of sleep between 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. So during those hours, they didn't allow them to sleep. And they found, looking at the immune system function, that there was a 30% drop in their immunity. Then they deprived people from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., and they found it dropped 50%. So when they say you want to get to bed early because you will get higher quality sleep earlier in the evening, here's proof. It directly affects your immunity. They found in studies that missing one day of sleep can impact the immune system for up to 4 weeks. Long time. Sleep loss can accelerate the risk and severity of diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, and coronary heart disease. There was a study that showed that persons getting 1 hour less of sleep per night weighed about 3 pounds more. Over a lifetime, inadequate sleep significantly impacts weight gain. That's a lot. Just 1 hour, 3 pounds. There's that BMI, the study you can see. So if they got less than 7 hours, the BMI was 30.2. And if they got 9 hours, their BMI was 28.3. All right, so they did another study on 48 people where they restricted the sleep to 4 to 6 hours daily for 14 days, which would be equal to doing 2 full days of sleep deprivation. All of them, they were asked how they felt. They said, oh, I only felt slightly sleepy after the 14 days. But I don't think I have any impairments. However, when they actually looked physically at the function, they had multiple impairments. They were less able to pay attention, think quickly, react to stimulus, and multitask. It decreased their ability to perform tasks that are controlled by the frontal lobe, so planning, concentration, motor performance, high level of intellectual skills. And we know our frontal lobe is where we have our morality, where we determine our moral decisions. This is a survey, so you ask these questions and you get a zero for if it's never or rarely, a one if sometimes, and a two if it's usual or always. So first question, are you satisfied with your sleep? We hope that you always are. Do you stay awake all day without dozing? Are you asleep or trying to sleep during the hours of 2 a.m. to 4 a.m.? Do you spend less than 30 minutes awake at night? This includes time it takes to fall asleep and waking during the sleep hours. And do you sleep between 6 and 8 hours a day? So good health would be a score of 10. Anything less is less good health. Chronobiology is the study of rhythms. They are doing amazing studies on rhythms in our body. And it's quite interesting. I'm not going to go into that. But one of the rhythms that I found interesting is the circaseptin rhythm, which is a 7-day cycle. And they were found that there is specific, every 7 days, certain things happen. So we want to, it brings us back to creation in that there's a reason God took 7 days, and he continually impresses upon us the creation, to bring us back to creation. And that's one of the things that in the Laodicean letter that it talks about, it brings up again the creation, and that we need to look to the Creator. So this is the hierarchy of needs. We find that during times of high stress in society, like a depression, then people tend to focus only on their most basic needs. They're not able to get into the more higher needs for growth in spirituality, growth in social growth with others, self-esteem, confidence, friendships, families. But when economy is doing well during boom times, then you are. We know, Ellen G. White told us, it's going to get difficult to buy and sell. So we are going to be met with times of financial depression, but we need to hold on to him so that we can stay in the, as if it was boom times, to feel rich, not to be rich, but to have that richness in spirituality with God, the relationship with God. We need to stay in the Word. Don't confuse what you need now with what you need most. A lot of times we think, I really need this, but no, actually we need God. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And as we read in Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We will find what we need in him. So, are we sleeping? Or are we sleep deprived? Maybe we are both. So we want to rest each day in the Word. We want to return to our first love, going through those 7 churches again. Rediscovering our passion for the message, realizing our needs, getting back to the teachings of the sanctuary and the 8 laws of health. I've gone through this before in the past, where the sanctuary can be correlated with the physical, mental, and spiritual parts of our temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it correlates also with those 8 laws of health. So if we look at the sanctuary, each of those articles in the sanctuary are correlated with creation and with the 8 laws of health. So we'll go through that quickly. Day one, what did he create? Day and night, the rhythm of the day and night, the necessity for the sun, the necessity for the sleep. Day two, pure air, water. He separated the water from the waters, right? And the correlation with that in the spiritual aspect, I won't go into it, but there's a correlation spiritually with the Holy Spirit. Day three through six, you have the good nutrition, the need for exercise. When you have those needs met, you're able to get the energy you need to share the love of Jesus with others. So when he created our animals and our friends, so that's where that comes in. And finally, day seven, where we remember to trust God, celebrate what he has done for us, and honor him with our temperance, not doing anything to excess. So we want to rest well in all areas so we can truly wake up in these last days. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the jewel of the Bible that you gave us to show us what it is that we need to learn, the messages that you are given to us, and help us to continue to study and to incorporate those things that we learn into our own lives. Help us to be an encourager for others, those who have needs that aren't maybe in your word, that we can share that with them, that you give us the right words and a good example for others. Bless each one here today and those who are watching, and bless us as we go throughout this next week. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and for your soon coming. Help us to be prepared and ready. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.